This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulihi al-kareem. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم اهدي قلبي وسدد لساني واسلل سخيمة قلبي آمين يا رب العالمين. الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم taught us that in these days of the year, the first 10 days of the month of Dhul-Hijjah, we should increase in declaring the oneness of Allah, the greatness of Allah, and also the praise of Allah Azza wa Jal. So takbirat, the words of Allah's glory or to proclaim the greatness of Allah, these words, we see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us many different ways of proclaiming the greatness of Allah. So for example, what I just read before you, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest, Allah is the greatest. La ilaha illallahu, Allahu Akbar. There is no God worthy of worship but Allah, and Allah is the greatest. Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest. Walillahi alhamd, and for Allah is all praise. We also learn Allahu Akbar Kabira. Allah is the greatest, most great. Walhamdulillahi Kathira. Praise is to Allah abundantly. Wasubhanallahi Bukratan wa Asila. And glory be to Allah in the morning and in the evening. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Walillahi alhamd. Allahu Akbar wa ajal. Allahu Akbar ala ma hadana. Allah is the greatest. Allah is the greatest. Allah is the greatest. For Allah is all praise. Allah is the greatest and most grand. We proclaim Allah's greatness because He is the one who has guided us. Allahu Akbar Kabira, Allahu Akbar Kabira, Allahu Akbar wa ajal, Allahu Akbar walillahi alhamd. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar Kabira. Allahumma anta a'la wa ajallu min an takuna laka sahiba. O Allah, you are the highest and the most grand, that from ever having a partner, meaning you are too high, you are too great to even have a partner. أو يكون لك ولد أو يكون لك شريك في الملك, or that you should have a child or an equal in your dominion. أو يكون لك ولي من الذل, or that you should have a protector out of weakness. No, Ya Allah, you are the greatest. اللهم اغفر لنا, اللهم ارحمنا. O Allah, forgive us. O Allah, have mercy on us. So in these days, we all need to increase in reciting takbirat. We especially declare the greatness, the glory of Allah Azza wa Jal in these days. The question is, why do we proclaim the greatness of Allah? What is the purpose? What is the benefit? Is it is this just a statement that we utter with our mouths? Yani, is it just, you know, words that we have to say with our mouths and just be, you know, done with saying them? No, these are not empty words. These are not mere statements. Rather, when we proclaim the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are affirming a belief that we have about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are affirming a mindset, a perspective that shapes our thoughts, that shapes our words, our actions, and our behaviors. Yani, these are not just words that we declare for the sake of just earning some good deeds. These are words that influence our thought patterns. These are words that are supposed to influence our behaviors, our actions. So why is it that we keep saying that Allah is the greatest, that Allah is the most great, that there is no one greater than Allah? Why are we always saying this? If you think about it, even in salah, we say Allahu Akbar so many times. When the adhan is pronounced, again, Allahu Akbar is declared over and over again. After salah also, we say Allahu Akbar so many times. And in these days, whether we are at Hajj or we are at home, we are supposed to declare the greatness of Allah. So how is it that these words influence our beliefs, our actions, our behaviors? How are we supposed to internalize these words? You see, when we believe and when we know that our Lord, Allah Azza wa Jal, is the greatest, then this means that when we are afraid, then we realize that safety and security is with the greatest one. That help is with who? The greatest one. He is the one who is able to protect us. He is the one who is able to bring us out of the difficulty that we find ourselves in. And when we have a need that we want fulfilled, then when we believe in the fact that Allah is the greatest, then we remember that the fulfillment of our needs is also with who? With the greatest one. He is the one for whom it is not hard, it is not difficult to fulfill our needs, because He is the greatest one. And when we need to rely on someone, then when we believe that Allah is the greatest, then we will rely on who? On the greatest one, on Al-Akbar. And when we need to ask for a favor, when we need to ask for help, when we believe that Allah is the greatest, we will turn to who? To the greatest one, to Allah Azza wa Jal. There are times in our lives when we need a strong, reliable support that we can really hold on to, that we can really, you know, put our faith in, that we know that this support is here and we are not alone. And if we put that faith in the creation, then of course there is going to be disappointment. So at these times, we need to remember that Allah is the greatest. So we should rely on who? On the greatest one. Because when Allah is the greatest, then this means that every great person and every great being and every great thing is small before Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah is greater than that. Because you see, over the course of our lives, you know, through experience, we realize that, you know, certain people are more reliable, or certain ways are more effective, you know, in helping ourselves, in bringing ourselves out of trouble. You know, some people think that in order to, be safe and secure, they need money. Other people think that in order to be safe and secure, they need a solid career. There are people who think that they need a strong, friend circle. They need social support. So whatever it is that we rely upon, you know, there are those times in our lives when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us their reality, that they're not perfect, that they are not great, that they are not able to always help us. So who is always able to help us? It is the one who is the greatest, Allahu Akbar. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest and we believe in this fact, this is the reason why we say in every salah that إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, that it is you alone that we worship, Ya Rabb, and you alone that we seek help from. When we realize the greatness of the greatest one, then we realize our own imperfection and the imperfection of the creation. We begin to see ourselves, and we also begin to see the creation as it truly is. It is weak, it is fallible, it is imperfect. And it is not hard then, it is not difficult then to lower our heads before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we realize that Allah is the greatest, then it's easy to put our head on the ground. It is easy to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, we experience joy in lowering ourselves before Allah the greatest. So what do we learn then? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest and we keep proclaiming the glory, the greatness of Allah, then we need to remember that when we are troubled by something that frightens us, that drowns us in worries, and when something, you know, makes us sad and causes us to cry, and our eyes begin to, you know, wander to the right and to the left, that who is it that I can find? Who is it that I can, you know, find that can listen to me? Who will understand me? Who will bring me relief? Then remember, no matter who we turn to, they cannot bring us relief. We will only find success when we turn to the greatest one, when we turn to the one who is Akbar, Allahu Akbar. When we rely on a person and they disappoint us, they fall short because of their weakness, they leave because of their mortality, then realize that we need the greatest one who will never, ever leave us. You see, no matter how much we love someone, no matter how helpful they may be, no matter how much comfort and joy we find in their company, the fact is that people cannot always be there. Our parents, our own children, our own friends, our own siblings, they cannot always be there. Whether they like it or they don't, one day they have to leave us, and one day we have to leave them. Sometimes people leave by choice, and sometimes they leave because of life circumstances. So Allah Azza wa Jal is always there for us. He will never ever leave us because He is the greatest one. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest, so He is able to open closed doors for us. He is able to remove hurdles from our paths. Sometimes, you know, we're trying to do something, and people in their maliciousness, basically, they deliberately try to harm us. They deliberately try to create hurdles for us. They don't want good for us. You ask them for cooperation and they refuse to cooperate with you. They, in fact, close open doors for you. Remember that Allah, the greatest one, He is able to open all closed doors for you. He is able to remove hurdles from your way. And sometimes when we go to people, they reject us. They ignore us. They're too busy to attend to us. They have no interest, no benefit in listening to us. Allah Azza wa Jal, His door is always open for us. And He invites us in our time of need, that come to me, I will answer you. Ask me and I will answer you. So we need to think that, do I have any need that I want fulfilled? Do I need some help? Do I need forgiveness? Am I in need of growth? Am I in need of, you know, the obstacles in my path to be removed? Do I need ease? And if we're honest with ourselves, we are all needy. So who is it that is able to open these doors for us? And who is able to forgive us? And who is able to provide us the help that we need? It is Allah, the greatest one. And you see, the thing with people also is that you ask them for a favor today, and if you ask them again, you know, you hesitate. And if you have to ask them a third time, you feel horrible. You feel really bad in your heart. And, you know, there are people who don't hesitate asking others for favors. So they will ask again and again. So people then have to scold them that what is wrong with you? You asked me yesterday and then you asked me again. And now again, you know, you are bothering me. People get tired of listening to us, of responding to us. But remember, no matter how many needs you have, Allah, the greatest one, is never tired of you. He never says that you asked me in the morning, and you asked me in the evening, and you asked me yesterday, and now again you are asking me? Have you got no shame? No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not treat us like that. When we complain to people, even if we're not asking them for a favor, we're just asking them to listen to us, to validate our feelings. Even then, people get tired. They don't want to listen to our complaints again and again. They get sick of us. They begin to avoid us. They refuse to make eye contact with us. You know, they show with their facial expressions that they're not interested in having that conversation, in listening to us. You see, your own children even, if your own children repeatedly nag you for something, you tell them to be quiet. You tell them to, you know, stop being so demanding. You tell them to, you know, just go away. So this is the reality of people. We reject people and people reject us. We get tired of people and people get tired of us. Allah Azza wa Jal does not reject us. Allah Azza wa Jal does not get tired of us because He is the greatest one. He rejoices when we ask Him. He is happy to give us when we are in need. And the reality of people, you ask them for favors, they will get tired. Allah Azza wa Jal, He continues to give. He continues to bestow. He continues to forgive. He continues to listen to His slaves and to respond to their calls. So remember, Allah is the greatest. So turn to Him. Ask Him. Think of Him. Beg Him for whatever that you are in need of. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah. Wallahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Walillahi alhamd. So in these days, as you recite the takbirat, think about all the struggles that you face in your life. Think about all the challenges that you have, all the needs that you have, any need, big or small. Recall that, think about that, and turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah, You are the greatest one. You are able to protect me. You are able to heal me. You are able to create ease for me. You are able to grant me strength. You are able to open these doors for me. You are able to put shifa, healing for me in the medication that I'm taking. Ya Allah, You are the greatest one. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah, wallahu Akbar. And as you say the takbirat, say them out loud, remind one another, encourage your children. These are days of proclaiming Allah's greatness. So increase in takbirat. Now, in these days, of course, we also need to think about what are the different deeds that we can do, different good deeds that we can do. Because as we learned yesterday, the Prophet ﷺ encouraged us in so many different ways by telling us that a good deed performed in these days is more beloved to Allah. It is more virtuous. It is greater. It is purer. It is more rewardable. So the question is that why should we busy ourselves in good deeds anyway? Or rather, why should we be concerned about performing the best deeds anyway? Is it not enough to do just the bare minimum? Or is it not enough to just continue, you know, the way that we are right now? Why should we increase in doing good deeds? And why should we learn about the best deeds? Why? You see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself tells us in the Quran that سَابِقُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا كَعَرْضِ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ أُعِدَّتْ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُلِهِ ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ ذُو الْفَضْلِ الْعَظِيمِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that race toward forgiveness from your Lord and a garden whose width is like the width of the heavens and the earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that we should race toward forgiveness, that we should not delay, we should not be lazy, we should not hesitate, we should not stall, we should not procrastinate, we should race toward those actions that bring us forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this shows us that we need to increase in our good deeds. We need to accelerate the speed. We need to increase the quality, the quantity, and the variety. Why? So that we can get forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the fact is that all of us make mistakes. All of us fall short in our duty to Allah, in our duty to, you know, the creation of Allah. So we are all in need of forgiveness. So when we excel in doing good deeds, what do we receive? We receive forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And race toward a garden, meaning paradise, whose width is like the width of the heavens and the earth. Meaning excel in doing good deeds so that you can enter Jannah. Do good deeds so that you can enter paradise. And paradise is vast. It is massive. And the rewards that a person will get in paradise are related to the kind of actions that they used to perform. If you think about it, when it comes to worldly matters, we never settle with less. We never settle with, with what is mediocre. If we know that there is a bigger house, if we know that that house has a bigger kitchen, that it has bigger, better appliances, that it has a better garden, it has a better driveway, it has a bigger garage, it has a bigger basement, it is in a better neighborhood, etc. You know, when we find out about, you know, things that are better, that are greater, if even if we cannot afford it, at least we wish for it. At least we desire it. If we know that, you know, there's a better deal out there, we want it, you know, even if we don't need it. So when it comes to dunya, when it comes to temporary things, we know that we cannot settle with what we have. We always need home improvements. We always need, you know, an improvement in, you know, in our clothing in our clothing collection, etc. We're always concerned about increasing and becoming better in worldly standards. If it's worldly education, even, we know that if we, got a degree 10 years ago, now it's about time that we update that. You know, we do something else and we add that to our LinkedIn. So when it comes to dunya, we know that we cannot settle with how we are. What about the akhirah, which is permanent, which is eternal? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is encouraging us over here. Race toward forgiveness. Race toward a garden whose width is like the width of the heavens and the earth. But it is prepared for who? It is prepared for those who have believed in Allah and His messengers. That is the bounty of Allah, which He gives to whom He wills. And Allah is the possessor of great bounty. Allah Azza wa Jal has huge treasures, huge rewards that He can bestow. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a lot to give. The question is, what do you want? How much reward do you want? So we should always think about, you know, going forward, becoming better, increasing in our righteous actions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. So race to all that is good. Race to all that is good. And you don't just settle with the few good deeds that you are doing. Think about how you can improve them, how you can increase them, what other good deeds you can perform. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. And hasten to forgiveness from your Lord and a garden as wide as the heavens and the earth prepared for the righteous. Hasten to forgiveness. Again, don't delay. Don't procrastinate. Don't settle with less. فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. So flee to Allah. Yani, we should be running. We should be striving hard in increasing our good deeds, in earning the approval of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because those who believe and those who don't, those who know and those who don't, those who do something and those who don't are not equal. There is a difference between those who believe and those who don't. There is a difference between those who know and those who don't. There is a difference between those who do, those who act, and those who don't. Think about it. For a person who recites a page of the Quran, every letter that they recite, they earn 10 good deeds. Are they equal in reward to the person who does not recite a page of the Quran? There is a difference. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of the virtue of those people who excel in doing good deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, ثُمَّ أَوْرَثْنَا الْكِتَابَ الَّذِينَ اصْطَفَيْنَا مِنْ عِبَادِنَا فَمِنْهُمْ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ وَمِنْهُمْ مُقْتَصِدٌ وَمِنْهُمْ سَابِقٌ بِالْخَيْرَاتِ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَضْلُ الْكَبِيرُ. Then we cause to inherit the book those we have chosen of our servants. And among them, meaning among the people who have the Quran, among the people who believe in the Quran, is he who wrongs himself. And he commits sin and he wrongs himself. He does not allow himself to do good, to increase in goodness. So he is harming himself. And among them is he who is moderate. And he's just doing the bare minimum, just doing what is enough to get by. So among them is he who is moderate. And among them is he who is foremost in good deeds by permission of Allah. And there's three types of people. When it comes to doing good, there's three types of people. First, those people who don't bother, who know what they can do, but they don't bother. Then there are those people who just do the bare minimum. And then there are those people who are eager to do good and who keep increasing in doing good and they get ahead of others. They are foremost in good deeds, but that is by permission of Allah. That is by the help of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَضْلُ الْكَبِيرُ. That is what is the great bounty. And such people truly have a huge favor. Yani, they will get great rewards because they're foremost in good deeds. We learn that people who are ahead of others in good deeds, they will be at the forefront on the Day of Judgment as well. They will be ahead of others on the Day of Judgment as well. Think about it. If there's a basketball game and you want to sit right in the front, you want the front seats, right, within the first five rows or something. I mean, of course, that's going to be really expensive, right? So there are people who want to get those front seats and they will pay for it. And then there are people who are just happy to sit anywhere. You know, they will sit all the way in the back and they, you know, they're okay with that because, you know, they don't want to spend too much. But if you get to sit in the front, what you get to see is different from what those at the back are going to see. The level of your enjoyment is going to be far different, right? The convenience, the privilege that you have is far different. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَالسَّابِقُونَ السَّابِقُونَ أُولَٰئِكَ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ. On the Day of Judgment, the forerunners will be the forerunners. Those are the ones brought near. Meaning those who were ahead in doing good deeds, on the day of judgment, they will be ahead of others as well. How? They will be brought near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will be closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And don't we all want that privilege that we are closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So it is not enough that we just wish for that closeness and we, you know, imagine that success on the day of judgment. Yes, we need to wish for it. And yes, we should imagine that. But we also need to strive towards that. How do we strive towards that? By increasing in our good deeds, by improving the quality, the quantity of our good deeds. Because this is prophetic behavior. This is the way of the prophets. This is prophetic character. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the prophets of Allah, alayhim as-salam, that innahum kanu yusari'una fil khayrat. Indeed, they used to hasten to do good deeds. And they wouldn't delay. They wouldn't settle with less. وَيَدْعُونَنَا رَغَبًا وَرَهَبًا وَكَانُوا لَنَا خَاشِعِينَ. And they would supplicate us in hope and fear, and they were to us humbly submissive. So if we want to be in the footsteps of the prophets of Allah, we also need to hasten in doing good deeds. We need to increase in doing good deeds. And we see this in the companions, radiallahu anhum, that they were so eager in doing good deeds and in competing, basically, that when they found out that someone was performing a certain good deed, they were also eager to perform that good deed. So we learn from on the authority of Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, he said that it was said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that, O Messenger of Allah, those who have wealth have surpassed us in reward. Any the wealthy people have gotten ahead of us in terms of reward, because they say the same as we do, and they spend, but we do not spend. So in other words, they pray, we pray. They make dhikr, we make dhikr, right? They believe, we believe, right? They send salat on you, we send salat on you, right? They say the adhan, we say the adhan. They answer the adhan, we also respond to the call of the adhan. But they have an advantage over us because they have wealth and we don't. So that wealth they spend, and because of that they earn rewards, but we don't have that wealth and we are not able to spend that, so we're missing out on that reward. Look at how the companions were, this bothered them, right? This pinched them, that we are not able to do certain good deeds, so we are missing out in terms of reward. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, shall I not tell you something which if you do it, you will catch up with those who are ahead of you? If you do this good deed, then you will catch up with those who have surpassed you, and you will excel over those who come after you. So what exactly is this good deed, or what exactly is this action that you can do? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained that you say Alhamdulillah after every salah, and you say Subhanallah, and you say Allahu Akbar also. How many times? 33 times each. And for Allahu Akbar, say that 34 times each. If you do this consistently after every salah, then you will catch up with those who are ahead of you. So the Sahaba were eager. They wanted to know how they could increase in their good deeds, and by that, how they could increase in their rewards. And we learn about so many ahadith in which, the companions would ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about the various good deeds that they could perform. So for example, we learn about a man asking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O Messenger of Allah, tell me about a deed that will admit me into paradise. I want to know about a good deed which I will do, which if I do, I know that I will enter paradise. I want to know about that deed, about the key to paradise. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied that inna min mujibatil maghfirati, meaning of those deeds which necessarily bring about forgiveness. And it is only after forgiveness that a person can enter paradise. So of those deeds is badlu salam wa husnul kalam. Saying the salam, meaning greeting people with salam, and speaking well to people. Talking to people in a good way. These are actions, these are deeds that will lead you to paradise. And then we see that the Prophet ﷺ also, he would encourage the companions to those deeds which brought the most reward, which were easy to do and also that brought the most reward. So for example, we learn that the Prophet ﷺ said that should I not inform you of the best of your deed and the purest of them with your master and the highest of them in your ranks and what is better for you than spending gold and silver and better for you than meeting your enemy and striking their necks and they strike your necks? Should I not tell you about the best of the best? And the Sahaba said, yes, of course. The Prophet ﷺ said, Dhikrullahi ta'ala, the remembrance of Allah Most High. So the Prophet ﷺ also directed the companions to those deeds which brought the most reward. In another hadith, we learn on the authority of Juwayriya radiallahu anha, she said that one morning, the Prophet ﷺ went out after the Fajr prayer, and Juwayriya radiallahu anha said that she was sitting in her place of worship, in the place where she had prayed. And the Prophet ﷺ then returned in the forenoon, meaning after a while he came back, and when he came back, he found her sitting in the same place. So the Prophet ﷺ asked her that, have you been sitting here the entire time? And since I left after Fajr until now, you've been here this entire time? And Juwayriya radiallahu anha said, yes. So the Prophet ﷺ said that since leaving you, I have said three times certain phrases, which if weighed against all you have said today, they would prove to be heavier. And what are these words? Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, adada khalqihi, warida nafsihi, wazinat arshihi, wa midada kalimatihi. So the Prophet ﷺ said these words of tasbih just three times. All right? And he said that these words are heavier in reward compared to all that you have said since the time that you were sitting until now. So the Prophet ﷺ didn't just teach us to increase in doing good deeds. Rather, he taught us to perform the best deeds. Deeds that bring the most reward. And this is something that we are all in need of knowing. Because there are times when we have the luxury of, sitting for hours and making dhikr. And then there are those times when we don't have that opportunity. Where if you have to leave for work, or you have children to attend to, you have family to look after, you have obligations, you don't have that luxury to continue to sit in one place and just, make dhikr. So we all need to learn about those deeds which are best, those deeds which are most virtuous, that bring the most reward. This doesn't mean that we need to have a lazy attitude. No, it just means that, we need to work smarter, not just harder. Because when we work smarter, then we are able to reap a lot of benefit. And when we are just working harder, then the results, are not always, are not always great. But definitely what we get from working harder is fatigue and sometimes boredom and sometimes even resentment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not get tired of our worship. So we have to see what our ability is, what we are able to do, what our strength is, what our limitations are. And given the situation that we are in, we need to learn about, the best deeds so that we can earn the best rewards as well. So this is the reason why we're going to be covering this series, because all of us need these reminders. And the thing is that life is not always the same, right? Especially women, you know, we go through so many changes in our lives, so many seasons in our lives where, you know, sometimes we have the liberty to spend our time and our energy as we will. And then there are those situations where we don't have that liberty. So we need to learn about what the best deeds are so that we can perform those deeds and earn great rewards in our short lives. So the first thing that we need to remember is that all good deeds are not the same. We see in the Quran, in the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that there are certain deeds that are more virtuous compared to others, meaning that they bring more reward compared to other deeds. They bring you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala compared to other deeds. So for example, smiling is sadaqah. It's rewardable. Saying the salam is also rewardable. Helping someone in the kitchen is also rewardable. Listening to someone is also rewardable, right? Talking to someone so that they're not lonely, that is also rewardable. Praying voluntary prayer is also rewardable. Reciting the Quran is also rewardable. Teaching the Quran is also rewardable. But all of these deeds are not equal in terms of reward. They vary in the reward that they bring to a person. So the question then is that what are those deeds which are the most virtuous, which are most rewardable? Because we want to know about the best deeds, right? Because we want to begin with those. So remember that out of all good deeds, it is the obligatory deeds which are most rewardable. Meaning the actions which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has obligated on us, they are those deeds which bring us the most reward. Because in a hadith we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that my servant does not draw near to me with anything more loved to me than the religious duties I have obligated upon him. So for example, you have 15 minutes. You are at work during the daytime and you have 15 minutes break. In those 15 minutes, you can do many different good deeds. You could FaceTime a friend who is working from home, who is alone, and you could talk to them so that they don't feel lonely. You could search for something online that you can order for a friend or for a relative. You can, send a few messages to friends and family that you have not connected with for some time. Or you can recite 5 pages of the Quran. Or you can get up and go pray Dhuhr. Okay? Now, out of all of these good deeds, what is the best? What is the most virtuous? It is that you get up and pray Dhuhr. Why? Because at that time, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has obligated on you is what? It is Dhuhr Salah. So if you perform Dhuhr Salah at that time, that is much more beneficial and rewardable for you than calling a friend, sending a gift, connecting with, you know, friends and family. Not that those good deeds are not important. They are important. But what is more important right now is your salah. So remember this. Out of all good deeds, what is most virtuous is those deeds which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has obligated on us. So when it comes to salah, fard salah, fajr salah, dhuhr salah, asr, maghrib, isha, these are more virtuous compared to voluntary salah. When it comes to fasting, the fasting of the month of Ramadan is more virtuous than voluntary fasts at any other time of the year. When it comes to spending, giving others, then giving zakat is far more virtuous than any other act of charity. So your obligations, remember, they're more virtuous compared to voluntary acts of worship. And in this hadith, we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, and my servant continues to draw near to me with voluntary deeds until I love him. Because some people, what they do is that they just stop at the obligations. They think, okay, I've done my fard dhuhr, khalas, I'm done my obligation. No, we need to do more as well. So for example, in those 15 minutes, you performed your wudu and you performed your dhuhr salah and you also performed the sunnah. Now you have 5 more minutes. For example, you have 5 more minutes before you have to return to work. So in those 5 minutes, you quickly write a message and you send it to your friends and family. Okay, so yes, you performed a voluntary good deed. And by this voluntary good deed, what's happening? You are drawing closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the more voluntary good deeds you perform, the closer you will go to Allah azza wa jal. And as we learn in hadith, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the servant continues to draw near until I love him. This is how you earn the love of Allah, by increasing in your voluntary good deeds. Whether it is voluntary salah or voluntary fast or charity, right? Sadaqah. Another important thing we need to remember is that the reward for a deed is determined by not just the quantity, okay, but also by the state of one's heart, okay, by the state of one's heart. So Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mentions that the reward for a deed is not determined by just how hard you worked and how much you got done. Because many people think that the harder you work, the greater the reward is. But that is not the case. The increase in reward is related to how beneficial the deed is and how aligned it is with the teachings of Allah and His Messenger. So the more obedient you are to Allah and His Messenger in doing something, the more reward the deed will bring. So for example, you wake up well in time for Fajr. Okay, before you perform your Fajr prayer, what do? You perform some voluntary salah, okay? And you perform 50 rakat, okay? But rushed, 50 rakat, you perform them rushed. So, okay, you performed a voluntary good deed. You worked really hard. And you also performed a lot of voluntary salah. But in doing that now, what's happening is that, you know, by the time you complete the 50, you realize there's only 10 minutes left until the sun rises. So then you quickly perform Fajr. Okay. Now, yes, you did 50 nafil rakat and then you performed Fajr Salah. Technically, you did a lot. And yes, this is rewardable. However, if you did not perform those 50 rakat and instead you perform the 2 sunnah of Fajr properly, and you recited Suratul Kafirun in the first rak'ah, Suratul Ikhlas in the second rak'ah, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would do, and then you perform your Fajr prayer and you recite a lot of Quran in the first rak'ah and in the second rak'ah, this will be much more rewardable compared to the 50 rak'ah voluntary prayer that you perform. So it's not enough then to just do a lot. It is necessary that we learn what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes, what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did, how he used to worship Allah. And the more aligned our worship is with the way that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would worship, the greater our reward will be. And the reward is also determined by the state of the heart. So for example, there is one person who recites Suratul Ikhlas in Salah out of laziness because they can't be bothered reciting a long surah. Okay, they just want to get over the salah quickly. So they think of a short surah, they think of Surah Al-Ikhlas, and they just recite that. Okay, but then there's another person who also recites Surah Al-Ikhlas. But why are they reciting Surah Al-Ikhlas? Because they love that surah. Because the surah talks about, it describes Allah Azza wa Jal. So, you know, we learn in hadith about a man who would recite Surah Al-Ikhlas in every rak'ah. All right, he was appointed as the imam over people. And in every salah that he led, he would recite Surah Al-Ikhlas. Okay, so the people complained to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And when the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked that man, why do you do that? He said that I love this surah. And he was told that that Allah loves you because of your love for the surah. Is there a difference? There's a huge difference in reward. Why is there a difference? The difference is because one is reciting that surah out of laziness. Another is reciting that surah out of love. So it's not just about the quantity. It's also about the quality. All right, it's also about the intention. It's also about the state of the heart. So if you recite one page of the Quran happily, right, you recite it in such a way that you are reflecting over the verses, you are willingly reciting that page, and you pause and you feel that love for Allah, you feel that khushur, you feel that fear, right? You cry those tears. This recitation will bring you far more reward compared to recitation that is rushed, that you do just to, you know, complete your daily goal, and you know, just, and you're reciting with resentment, you're reciting and, you know, half looking at the mushaf and then looking here and there, constantly checking your phone, you have your phone open in one hand, mushaf in the other hand. You see, there's a difference. So it's not just about the quantity, it's also about the quality. Another important thing we need to remember is that the virtue of a deed, meaning the reward of a deed, depends on the state of the person, the time, and the place. So basically, the reward of a deed is associated with three things. Okay, what are these three things? First of all, the state of the person. Secondly, what time it is, and by time I don't mean what time of day or night it is, of course that also, but also what time of the year it is, what day it is, what month it is, all right, and also the place. So for example, I just gave you an example of the person who recites Surah Al-Ikhlas out of laziness and the other recites out of love. The action is the same, but the reward is different, right? Because the state of the person is what? That they're reciting out of love. Right? With sincerity, with dedication. So the reward will be greater. What about the time? For instance, it's Friday, okay? And a person recites Suratul Kahf. This will be more rewardable, right? Compared to reciting, for example, Suratul Isra. Suratul Isra also, if you recite it on Friday, it's great. I mean, if that is, you know, coming in your daily recitation, you happen to recite Suratul Isra, great. But if you recite Suratul Kahf on Friday, there is a special virtue, there's a special reward that is attached to that. You say takbirat any time of the year, excellent. But you say takbirat now, in these days of Dhul Hijjah, it is more rewardable. It is more beloved to Allah. What about the place? If you are performing nafil prayer in your home, great. But if you perform nafil prayer in the haram, while you are standing before the Kaaba, of course the reward is greater. So we have to know about the significance of different times and the significance of different places. And also we have to recognize what role, what position we are in, what the state of our heart is. We have to be cognizant of that so that we can perform the best deed. So Ibn al-Qayyim also explains that for one person, a certain deed may be more virtuous compared to another deed. So for example, you have, again, your mourning to yourself. Let's say you're not at work, you're not at school, you are free, you are at home. Okay, so you can do a number of different things. But given who you are, given what your strengths are, given what responsibilities you have in your life, given what opportunities you have, a certain deed may be more virtuous for you compared to another deed. So remember that what is best for you is rooted in who you are, what roles you have, what skills you have. You don't have to change who you are, okay? You don't have to become someone else to be more virtuous. You know, for example, some people, they think that because I'm a mother, I can't do more. I can't do much. Because I'm pregnant, I can't do much. Because I'm getting married soon, I can't do much. Because I have to work, I can't do much. No, you can still do what is best for you, given the unique position that you are in this part of your life. So no matter who you are, no matter what your capabilities or your limitations are, there are deeds that are best for you, more virtuous for you. So for example, if there is a person who is wealthy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them a lot of wealth. They are able to give sadaqah, all right? And they're also able to perform nafil prayer. If they perform nafil prayer, for example, you know, after dhuhr, they have free time, so they perform nafil prayer, okay? Voluntary prayer. Let's say they perform 10 raka'at nafil prayer. Okay, great. But the benefit that they're going to get from this deed is just personal, right? If they give sadaqah from the wealth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them, if they spend on others, that will be more rewardable for them. Why? Because they're bringing relief to someone in need. They're bringing a smile to someone. They're helping someone. They're taking their worries away. They are investing in their future, right? They are, basically getting sadaqah jariyah for themselves. So you have to see what strengths Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. You are able to recite Quran yourself, and you are also able to teach Quran to someone. So you say, you know what, I'm not going to be teaching anyone because, you know, then people will know that I know how to recite the Quran. I'm just going to sit at home and recite Quran myself. Okay, when you recite Quran yourself, the benefit is personal. It's only going to benefit you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has equipped you, has blessed you with the ability to teach someone else. When you teach someone else, you benefit yourself and you benefit them. So you see, there's a difference. You could spend your morning reciting Quran yourself, or you can also take some time out and teach someone. When you teach someone, that will be better for you than your personal recitation. So it is very important for us that we recognize, we understand what is best for us given the situation that we are in, given the tools that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has equipped us with. And when a person does not know, a person does not realize the difference between what is more virtuous and what is less virtuous, then there are serious consequences. How? First of all, they miss out on reward. They miss out on reward. Think about it. If you teach someone how to recite Surah Al-Fatiha, and now every single time that they recite Surah Al-Fatiha for the rest of their lives, you're going to get reward. Okay? But you say, no, I'm not going to teach anyone. I'm just going to recite Quran myself. So you just recite Quran yourself. You don't teach anyone. Are you missing out on reward? Absolutely you are. Absolutely you are. It is the month of Dhul-Hijjah. If you know that a deed performed in these days is more rewardable, and you give sadaqah, right? You make that special donation, that extra, you know, that bigger donation, right? That is very, very rewardable. But if you don't know about it, and you don't give, you know, that donation, you don't make that sadaqah, what's going to happen? You're going to miss out on reward. So when we don't know what the best deeds are, we miss out on reward. Secondly, what happens is that we make errors in prioritization. You see, everyone has limited time. limited ability. So, for example, you know, that when I gave you the example of 15 minutes at work, if you think that listening to someone, talking to your friend, you know, bringing her some joy by telling her a few jokes, you know, is great, it's a virtuous deed, okay, you do that, but you miss Dhuhr, you perform Dhuhr late, you're making a huge mistake over here. So when we don't realize what is best in a situation, we make such mistakes and we fall short in our obligations. And some people, what they do is that they begin to, you know, increase a lot in their voluntary deeds, but they neglect their obligatory deeds. And so they don't get the reward that they're able to get. And they don't find closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they would have been able to find if they prioritized correctly. And also remember that, you know, for instance, if there's a person who is able to teach other people good things, and they find out that, you know, if you pick up something from the road that is bothering people, that is that is rewardable, right? So you leave, you know, teaching children the Quran, for example, and you go start cleaning the streets because this is rewardable. Yes, cleaning the streets is rewardable, but teaching Quran is more rewardable, especially given the fact that you are able to teach Quran. You see, anyone can clean the streets, even those people who don't know how to recite the Quran. So you have to think about what you are best able to do. So then how exactly should we prioritize? What's the main lesson that we can learn from all of this discussion? The first thing is that we must prioritize what is obligatory. So in these days, we need to begin by focusing on performing the obligations. You know, your fard salah, make sure that you're praying that on time. If you, for example, spend a whole lot of time in the night performing tahajjud, and then you miss your fajr, that's a mistake. Fajr prayer is more virtuous than tahajjud prayer. All right? Secondly, prioritize what brings greater benefit over what brings only personal benefit. So we learn about how Imam Malik, once he was teaching, and one of his students, you know, he got up from that gathering and he went on to pray voluntary prayer in the masjid. So Imam Malik said that what you are leaving is more virtuous than what you are going towards. Because learning from a teacher that is teaching at the moment, this is time sensitive, right? Class was going on. So that man was leaving ilm and was going towards personal worship. If he were to learn something from Imam Malik, then he would be able to teach so many people. And when he gave preference to personal ibadah, then he was only bringing benefit to himself. So you see, sometimes what happens is that, you know, we want to pray nafil prayer, we want to recite the Quran, but your children are hungry, right? Your husband has just returned home from work. There is a person who is sick at home and they need your help. So you say, no, you're hungry, you have to wait. You're crying, I don't care, cry all you want. You're in pain, you have to wait. I have to complete my recitation. That is not correct. Prioritize correctly. Prioritize what brings greater benefit over what brings personal benefit. But this does not mean that you leave the recitation of the Quran entirely, because this is also a mistake that we make. You know, we think that I have to focus on my family. I have to attend to their needs. I have to think about the greater good. And because of that, personal ibadah is always sacrificed. It is always compromised. That is not healthy. You also need to create boundaries. You also need to prioritize yourself. And this is related to wisdom. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for wisdom, for the ability to do the right thing at the right time. Another thing is, the third thing is that when opportunities are many, so for example, In the following days, we'll be talking about many different kinds of good deeds. And you want to do everything, and you don't know what to do, what to leave, then do a little of everything, okay? But be consistent. So for example, when it comes to nafil prayers, voluntary prayer, you can perform a lot of that during the day and during the night. When it comes to the recitation of the Quran, you can do a lot of that during the day and during the night. When it comes to dhikr, you can do a lot of that during the day and during the night. But should you then spend all of your time performing voluntary prayer, or all of your time reciting the Quran, all of your time making dhikr? No. Perform voluntary prayer, even if it's just 2 rak'at during the day. Recite the Quran, even if it's 1 page. Make dhikr, even if it's, you know, certain tasbihat, certain takbirat during the day. But do a little of everything, and the little that you do, be consistent. Be consistent. Because the most beloved deeds to Allah are those which are most consistent, even if they are little. So remember that. Don't deprive yourself of certain good deeds because you're doing something else. And we need that balance. If we can recite a page of the Quran a day, we can spend 5 minutes in the morning making dhikr. That is better than only performing voluntary prayers all day long. And the fourth thing is that when the virtue of a deed is associated with a certain time, then give preference to that deed. Because certain things are time sensitive. Right? They're time sensitive. So for example, the dhikr in the morning is more beneficial compared to dhikr in the middle of the day, right? Likewise, dhikr after salah is more virtuous compared to dhikr at any other time. So when reward is associated to deeds being performed at a certain time, then give preference to those deeds. So for example, it's time for salah, it's asr salah, right? And somebody is calling you, and you know that they want to talk to you. So you have to give preference to what? To the deed which is time sensitive, asr salah. You perform asr, and then you call back. And lastly, in doing virtuous deeds, do not neglect the rights of those who deserve something from you. And performing good deeds doesn't mean that you neglect people. Because sometimes we make that mistake, that we are so busy listening to a lecture, or we are so busy, reciting Quran, we're so busy memorizing, we're so busy, listening to a friend, consoling a friend, that we neglect our children. We neglect the husband, we neglect our duties to our parents. So there needs to be a correct prioritization. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all beneficial knowledge, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the wisdom, the ability to recognize what is best in a given situation. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to do what is best in these days and in the rest of our lives. Ameen. Inshallah, we will conclude over here for today. Tomorrow, inshallah, we will begin with the theme of what is the best deed, especially when it comes to faith, when it comes to iman. So inshallah, tomorrow we will begin with the different themes. Barakallahu feekum, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, ashadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallahu khair. Kaseera tayyibatiyya. Alhamdulillah. We learned very beneficial things today.